Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 404. Top of the day to you, Steph.
I love that number.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
404.
And then I started to question it. I was like, is it really? 400 seems a lot. I'm like, no, but we did say 400 four episodes ago.
Question it.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time. Yeah.
A quiz today will be about sitcoms with comedians in them.
Okay. Isn't that kind of, is that where sitcoms started?
Yeah, maybe. There's no way of finding out.
No way of finding out.
We will also be talking about shows, what we've been watching and seeing live.
Mm.
It's very fun. Packed week. Good week. Packed week. A good packed week.
Busy? Is that what you wanted
to say?
That's probably the word.
It's
a busy week.
I don't have time to look for words to say. I have to get into the news.
If you aren't getting your watches fixed just by listening, follow the watchers on Twitter and Instagram.
Chris Parnell, I always like him. He's always in, I mean, he's from Saturday Night Live, but he's always in stuff and he always sort of plays the same character, but I want him to play the same character. He's been in, well, 30 Rock. He was the dodgy doctor. That's all I can think of right now, but yes.
And that's his IMDb.
That's it. Anyway, he's going to be in a series. I think he's going to have 10 episodes on Netflix, which Will Ferrell and Molly Shannon will star in.
Oh, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Get the old castmates back together. It's a golf series. So I'm like, if you had led with that, I would have just passed it by.
That's why we didn't.
This is why we have to go with actors first. It's called, I think, The Hawk, and Will Ferrell plays the guy whose nickname is The Hawk. He's a fictional golf legend. She plays his ex-wife, Molly Shannon does, and Chris Parnell will play a PGA Tour board member and all-round jerk. So he's going to do the voice, you know, like the normal Chris Parnell voice. So I'm going to keep my ear out for that one. Because I think that will be a good watch.
Fun.
Yeah. Now, did you see this earlier? Oh, was it last week? Late last week or early this week? They announced that Sean Astin will be the president of the SAG-AFTRA. I always want to say afters, but AFTRA. He is taking over the role from Fran Drescher, who, if you remember, took over the role from Gabrielle Cateres, who was Andrea Zuckerman
in
Beverly Hills 90210. People you know.
I think that's why
I love that, right? I don't know why, but there's something about all of that that makes me so happy.
Me too.
Like these people, bosses.
Bosses.
In charge. And apparently his mother back in the day in like the 80s, Patty Duke, she was also the
President.
The president. And she was the president for 3 years. So that's really cool.
That's so cool.
So funny. Now, Switch 2 is a thing. It came out a few months ago now, and Nintendo did a Nintendo Direct last week, and they announced a whole heap of new games and whatever, but there was one thing that I wanted to tell you about because I thought this is something that you would be interested in if you had a Switch. Maybe it will just tip the scheme over. You know what?
I know someone who has one.
I don't have a Switch 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, get on to that.
All right. Announced Stardew Valley is getting an upgrade for Nintendo. So there's going to be mouse controls, so you can use a mouse instead of a controller. New multiplayer options, and I think that involves a lot. A four-player split screen. That sounds hectic, but okay.
On a little tiny screen?
Well, you plug it into your TV.
Oh.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm up on what a Switch does.
Yeah, really know what it does. 8-player online play and game share. This.
All for Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
Eight players?
Yes.
In a co-op, all living on the same farm?
Yes.
Get to work.
you got to find six friends now. Best of all, updates free.
Even better.
Mm. Updates should be free. Agreed. There was something on there for maybe Donkey Kong Bonanza. I think that's the latest Donkey Kong game. And they introduced new levels. and they said, this DLC, this, like, you have to pay for it, DLC. Mm. And I was watching, like, a reaction video, and one of the guys was like, hello, Astrobot's calling, saying, you can also just not charge and give people levels for free.
Yeah. Stop being greedy.
Who would give... Okay, so when I think about Nintendo, I think mainly for kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you would have somebody who's gone into the shop and bought the Donkey Kong game.
Yeah.
Now suddenly there's DLC, new levels. Who's going to buy that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the parents are not going to, because you have to go onto the online store to do it.
Yeah.
The kids maybe won't know about it because they maybe don't go into the store section.
Yeah.
Or if they do, they've bought something by accident.
And they're not allowed to.
Mm-hmm.
It's parental controls.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't really wrap up extra levels as a gift, can you? No. Here you go. Now, how many extra levels equates
I don't know.
Dollar sign?
Because you look at all of the ones that you get when you finish Astrobot. Like, remember the Christmas one,
yeah,
and all those shorter, really difficult, challenging ones.
I like the idea of finish it and it will unlock more.
Yeah. So you finish the storyline and then you can just keep playing. Donkey Kong Bonanza, there was a lot of gold that you could smash through walls and caves and cliffs and get lots of gold. So it's very collectible. We've got a quiz coming up soon. It's about comedians in sitcoms. You're thinking, aren't you?
Yeah, totally thinking. Can you hear me thinking?
Yeah, it's like... You thought I was, but I did it differently. Right, it's now time to get into the watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Should we go with the one that we watched together?
Okay.
We sat next to each other in the State Theatre in Sydney and we saw Ross Noble live.
Mm-hmm.
This was the second time I'd seen him live.
Was it?
Yeah. And the first time for you.
Yeah.
But you know him, like you knew him.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah.
So tell me, was first time or second time better?
It was funny. I was talking to Mum and she reckoned she enjoyed the first time more.
Yeah.
This one, I think I enjoyed more.
Did you?
But I think there are different reasons behind that.
Go on.
One, I think I knew what I was getting into because he's quite random. He's very random.
He's a bit manic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things go, ideas and jokes fly
even
everywhere,
like,
and then
the
come
way
back.
He walks around the stage, you're like, oh, getting your steps up, aren't you, buddy?
You can sit down if you want for a second.
No wonder you're wearing sneakers.
Yeah, that's right. And maybe I was a bit more tired the last time. I don't know. But this time I thought it was really funny. He was funny. There's definite levels of Billy Connolly to him.
Oh, yeah. And it's not just the long hair.
No.
Don't go there.
No, it's more those random ideas that he comes up with audience interaction. Like, not interaction. Like, he'll...
It's roasting.
Yeah,
he's roasting
the audience.
That was my favourite part of it, was the audience roast. And it didn't... They weren't mean, though. They weren't mean. They were just pulling out the obvious and then just going on a tangent with it. But it was the kept coming back to those audience members that I thought was really funny. I was expecting a bit more from him, though, I'll be perfectly honest.
In what way?
I thought, okay, when I watch comedians, I always watch for what is pre-planned, you know, what is in your arsenal that you're going to pull out now and which bits are totally and utterly random. And it felt to me like the stuff that was the pre-planned stuff was probably the weaker of the show.
Works better
on
the fly.
I was shocked by that. Mm. And some of the punchlines of his pre-planned stuff didn't land for me. Whereas the roasting of the audience that was done on the fly with like random thoughts in your head was hilarious.
I wonder if there's an aspect to that that has audience in joke, like the audience is in with the joke. You're coming up with the joke at the time, therefore we as the audience feel like we are part of it. Like we're part of the joke, we're part of like this, we're all doing this together.
Yeah.
The fact that he keeps bringing some of the jokes back that he was of the roasting of the audience or whatever looked like he had just come up with, and it comes back and we're like, oh, we're all in this together.
Yeah.
I wonder. I don't know.
It's also that on the fly brain that's going, that's creating comedy.
And which is impressive.
From just looking at, you know, when you're on stage, the lights are pretty bright. You can't really see the audience.
That's why you just got the same.
You go the first people at the front and you're like, make something from this and make it magic.
That's right. My favorite one was there was a lady that got up to, I thought, oh, she's just jumping up to go to the loo.
Yeah.
And he said, hang on a second. We're going to have interval in a second. Just sit back down. So she sat back down and he said, you want to go to the toilet, don't you? And she was like, actually, I want to go to the bar. And then he just started calling her pisshead for the whole time. And then at the end, you know, he thanked the people that he was roasting. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, you know, applaud IT guy, applaud high-vis lady, applaud pisshead. But he goes, but only one clap. And the whole audience just went.
It was so perfect. Good.
I love that. It was like right up my humor right there.
There was not one person who clapped out of time, which is remarkable. Because you know when you go to shows and they get the audience to clap, and there's always people who cannot keep in time.
Oh, God, it was so funny. It was really good. I think it also, when you go and see stuff like that, it reminds you that sitting down with a group of other people all watching and not on our phones, just watching the same thing and enjoying the same thing makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
Because if we all sat down and watched a Netflix special of that, somebody would be checking something on Facebook, someone would be ordering something online, maybe another person is ironing, like, you know what I mean, like cooking or whatever.
You're always multitasking.
Exactly.
Aren't you?
But when you're 100% there with a group of other people, and I think that's, It also makes me think that that is where the magic of the movie theater comes from as well, like going to the cinema. You're all there together. The majority of people don't have their phones out and you're just enjoying the moment. Mm. It's good.
I enjoy with comedy shows when you hear like pockets of individuals really crack up over one particular joke.
I may be laughing at a joke 5 minutes ago that they just remembered. Yeah. I love when that happens where you get the giggles about something that, like, the show has moved on.
Yes.
What else have you watched this week?
I watched a movie.
Oh, my gosh.
Not at the movies.
Phone on?
Oh, probably. You know, like, I've got a lot of things to do of an evening.
I know that.
I have to watch something. I have to, like, Wordle.
Yep, same.
Duolingo.
Like, I understand.
It's a very busy time.
Sit down and do them all at once.
Do them all at once. Just click off all your jobs. So I watched a movie that is on Amazon Prime and it was called The Map That Leads to You. And it's a new release. It's a romantic / drama-ish film. And it's based, it's an adaptation of the novel with same name by J.P. Monninger. And I think, if I'm being perfectly honest, I do think it is for a younger generation because it is that whole, what we would call the gap year, you know, where you finished college or uni.
And then,
is that our gap year? Our gap year is after school, isn't it?
It's after school.
So take all of that back. Okay. I'm just talking absolute nonsense.
But also maybe it must be for people in their 20s.
It's your 20s. But maybe that's the American gap year. They do their study before they go to work, you know, or they have their summer. So anyway, the main character, she has finished college and she's about to start, you know, a big banking job, which they make it out to seem as though it's really boring in comparison to traveling around Europe,
which it absolutely is, isn't it? Yeah.
So she's traveling with a couple of friends and they're all slightly different. And on an evening or overnight train to Barcelona, she meets Jack, who is a New Zealander traveling by himself, and he's following the diary of his great-grandfather who was stationed in Europe during the Second World War.
Yeah, cool.
And they connect because they're reading the same book. And I guess also when you're traveling and you're young, you connect with other people, don't you?
Exactly.
My brain, when I read, because I'm pretty sure in Amazon it did not say romantic. I think they said drama. Okay. So in my head, I kept waiting for like this Jack to turn a bit sinister, a bit evil.
Like, here we go.
Yeah. And at one stage. Yeah. At one stage, one of the friends' characters, you know, talks about, oh, well, you know, you're meeting a random person on a train in Europe. Maybe he's a serial killer. Serial and in my killer. Head, I was like, that's exactly where this show is going. She thinks the exact same way as me. It's not like that at all. it's a romantic drama. Lovely, beautiful scenery. It's a nice, gentle story. I'm trying not to make it sound boring because it's not boring, but it's not a...
I know exactly what you think. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a cozy watch. It's a light watch.
It's like a light watch.
If you've finished watching something like The Diplomat or...
Yes.
Jack Ryan or something like that, we're like, oh my gosh, my brain has had to keep up with so many things. And you're like, I'm just going to sit down and watch this. This is nice.
And those ones you also know it's going to be a nice ending. It's going to come around to where you probably as a viewer want it to come around to because it's led you down that pathway. Mm-hmm. Isn't that what makes a romantic novel or a romantic movie?
Yeah.
I read that in another book somewhere where to be a romance novel, it has to have a happy ending. Am I wrong with that? Or is that what a character in a book told me and I just believed it?
I think of that movie 30 Days of Summer or something like that with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and I can't remember who was the female lead in it, but I thought that was a romance where, I mean, I'm going to spoil it, sort of.
Spoiler, it's 20 years old.
Maybe 10 years ago. I thought they were going to end up happily ever after. Because, you know, the romantic comedies, you're like, they meet, something's a bit quirky, maybe they have a fight, they sort of break up, but at the end they're back together.
They get back together again.
They don't in this. They're just, and then they break up and they're both sort of okay.
All right, we need to look to see if they classify that as a romance.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Or just a drama.
It felt very romancy for all of it except for the bit where it didn't end. Maybe it was. I'm not sure. Because books tend to do things a little differently at times.
Yeah.
Although books and series and movies at the moment really love a good flash forward, flashback, flash forward, flashback.
I'm reading a book at the moment. It's short chapters, which I love. I love short chapters because you can get through them and you're like, I'll just read another one. Anyway, I digress. Every chapter is like past, future, past, future. Yep. Well, actually, future's not right. Present.
No, present, past, present, past, present, past. That's what mine's doing as well.
Anyway, the map that leads to you is on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
If you are a younger generation, I think you would adore it. But for the rest of us, it's a nice cup of watch.
Okay.
Cup of tea watch.
I get you.
Yeah.
It's really funny because in my head they should all be carrying a really big, thick Lonely Planet. They won't, though.
They just
have a phone.
Do you know what, Leah? You will be shocked. They actually use their phone when they're overseas. Like, they are on phone calls and FaceTiming, and I'm like,
so expensive.
You are in a different generation to me.
The hell is going on?
We were frugal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even now, I use somebody else's Wi-Fi the whole time.
The best thing I did, I didn't want to get another SIM because I just could, like, that's faffing around, right?
Too old. You're too old.
So when I was in Japan, I had a pocket Wi-Fi and it meant that everybody you were with, which was only two other people, we all just had that Wi-Fi. Yeah. And then when we went back to the accommodation, you used
their Wi-Fi
and then we all just, it was great.
Yeah.
Also, they have good Wi-Fi over there.
Makes a difference. Mm. I mean, well, a lot of places do have good Wi-Fi in comparison to Australia, that's true. Right?
Very good point.
You know, considering we invented it, I mean, I say the collective, us, we all stood in a circle together and said, this
on
is
the
a
count
fabulous
of three.
Idea.
I drove past an NBN fixing bloke and he was, you know, just a bloke just working on something and I was like, NBN? He must be like... It's like, oh my God, I can't believe we're having to work on this really old infrastructure. Like, you know, just being annoyed even though it's his job. Oh, Hank, come and think of that. Everybody's annoyed with their own job.
So. Isn't that adulthood?
That's a job. That's true. Good point.
I hate doing this thing that I chose to do.
Speaking of work, I sat down and watched maybe four episodes of The Paper, which is the spin-off of the US version of The Office. And it's set,
interesting.
I believe, and because I haven't really watched that many of the US Office episodes, I'm not really sure, but they kind of reference the fact that it was set in the same office building as where the original office was set. But now everything had changed a little bit, and the whole level that would have once been, I think it was paper. I think they did paper as well in the US as well as the UK version. The paper company is now, half of that office is owned by a toilet paper company. That's like their head office. And the other side of this office is now owned by a newspaper. I think that's right. Anyway, we follow Ned, who is the new editor-in-chief, and he arrives and he's in love with the world, the nostalgic world of the newspaper, where everybody else that works in this newspaper very much know the realities of actual paper. A paper involves online. It involves just grabbing articles, not even writing them, from the AAP or whatever the Associated Press kind of subscription that you have. And it's got, I'm going to try and say her name, Sabrina Impacciatore. I think that's how you pronounce it. She was the manager in season two of The White Lotus.
Oh, yeah.
She's here in this newspaper, and she's so weird in the funniest way. I love it. She's so good. She's really, really good at it. If you want to watch it for no other reason but to see her,
yeah,
bloody brilliant. And Oscar Martinez is back, that character. He was in the original office. Like, you see him in the background and suddenly, like, the camera zooms in on him. He's like, oh, no, I'm not doing this again. He tries to run away. He's like, he doesn't want to be in the show. It's really fun. It's a good show. I found it on Foxtel. It's on Peacock. Do we have Peacock here? I can't remember.
No, too many subscription stuff. Some Peacock stuff is on Hayu.
Ah, okay. So it must be between Foxtel and Hayu then. This one was on Foxtel. And I really it's a nice watch. You can watch a couple of episodes of an evening, and it's light enough. It's not too corny. Like, the Australian version of The Office, I didn't really think was that good. It just didn't work. Give it a go. I think if you were a fan of The Office and you want more of those vibes of the American Office,
yeah,
this is the one to watch. Do you want to do a little quiz?
I do. I've been waiting so long. Patiently.
It's only been 23 minutes, but anyway. All right, quiz time. How many seasons did these comedians get?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, what show was this comedian in? And I was ready for that, but not this. How many?
Yeah.
I can't do how many.
I know. This is why it's funny. We're going to low-hanging fruit, Seinfeld. How many seasons do you reckon?
65,000.
AKA?
No, wait. Wasn't it seasons or episodes?
Seasons.
Nine.
Yes. Bloody good. What about that 70s hit starring Robin Williams, Mork and Mindy?
Three.
Four. That's close.
That was close.
He must have then hit the big time, right?
He was a star by then.
I reckon he would have gone on to something like Popeye. Remember he was Popeye in the movie Popeye? I reckon
what
that's
about
early
Good
enough.
Morning Vietnam?
I feel like that's later.
Was it?
Yeah. I think that was mid to late 80s.
Oh.
Everybody Loves Raymond, starring Raymond.
12.
I was surprised it was only nine. I would have said more as
I
well.
I thought nine and I had to go
I actually
from
didn't
Seinfeld.
Think Seinfeld would have had that many. I would have said about six.
Yeah. Anyway.
Ellen, as in the sitcom, not her talk show. Yeah.
Okay, so it was doing well, and then she came out, and
everyone
everybody
was so
like,
shocked.
So shocked.
Oh, my God.
And it got – did it get cancelled or it struggled for a little
bit?
It
had a struggle.
I'm going to say four.
Five. Geez, you're getting close to all of them. Roseanne, I'm just talking about the original.
Nine.
Yes. There must be something about nine. There must be something about nine seasons. If they go up to 10, do they suddenly get a lot more
expensive?
Yeah, or they have that sort of when it goes into syndication, when it goes into rerun. No, I thought that was in episodes. I thought it was 100 episodes. Anyway, Blackadder, Rowan Atkinson, Blackadder. This is the final one.
12.
It only had four.
Only four.
Yeah, main seasons. And then it all got a little. Okay. You know how, I mean, same with Ab Fab, you can say, I think there were five.
Yeah.
But then there were all, you know.
It's funny because UK shows, I don't think of them.
As seasons?
Well, I mean, I do, but not numbered seasons where I feel like, you know, you think of Friends, you go, oh, yeah, that many seasons, Sex and the City, that many seasons. But UK are just.
Because, I mean, you even think about The Office. The Office, the UK Office, the Ricky Gervais Office had two seasons, but then it had that like.
They all have the Christmas specials.
The Christmas specials, and then they
that's what the UK
afterwards.
Does. That's why it's confusing. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, we are right.
We're right. You were right the whole way through. Absolutely. I loved all of that episode. Mm. And now are we going to put the kettle on? It's time for a cuppa, right?
Gosh, I have been dying for a cuppa.
Yeah. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Then you must be into episode like 512 with all of your in-betweens sitting outside the boxes.
I think you're right.
Yeah.